gotta say, I really hate that. I really hate that they called the third movie Bad Boys for Life.
Makes no sense.
And then had a fourth movie.
Makes
I have
no
been furious
sense.
About this for I don't know how.
It's really aggravating.
Will joked about it and was like, yeah, we fucked up. Like, he was like, yeah, we fucked.
I wish I could find this, because when they announced Bad Boys 3 and 4, they announced them together years ago.
They did?
Yes. They were, the idea was that they were going to make them both back to back. And I think the pandemic is what ended up like skirting those plans.
Okay.
But, they announced them both. I remember vividly seeing that Bad Boys 4 was called Bad Boys 4 Life. Now, I don't know if that was just whoever was reporting that, you know,
assuming that's what it was called. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
But then when they called Bad Boys 3 Bad Boys 4 Life, I was like, oh, they don't have faith in this fourth one. They don't know how this third one's going to do. They don't think they're going to make a fourth one. They're going for it now.
You still know? Call it Bad Boys Ride or Die. Like, I feel like. What are we? like.
And Bad Boys 3 didn't have a subtitle in this article that I remember reading. It was just Bad Boys 3. And then Bad Boys 4 was Bad Boys 4 Life. And I wish I could find it. I have no idea how I could even, you know, like what I'd have to look for all news announcing Bad Boys 3.
The plot of Bad Boys 4 lends itself to Bad Boys for Life.
That is truly, it's the Batman Forever of movies. Like they're like, we're gonna be Bad Boys forever. Like that's what this movie is.
It's too bad they can't like retroactively rename films, you know?
Yeah.
Also, I don't understand why they couldn't have just called it Bad Boys 3. Like Bad Boys 3 is like a good enough title. You didn't need to start the whole you didn't need it. You know what I mean? Like it like three Roman numeral 3 looks cool.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, Bad Boys 2 worked. So just have Bad Boys 3 so that when you have 4, you can actually call it For Life.
Yes.
Oh, it sticks in my craw. Oh, but you know, there's nothing else to say. We got Bad Boys Ride or Die. There's no transition. It's just that we've been talking about it the whole time.
I mean, yeah, there's nothing you can do.
That's what it is. I wanna say something like Bad Boys 4, but I can't. I gotta say Bad Boys Ride or Die. All right. He's like, now I know how you guys feel when I do the transition.
Wow, it only took 10 years.
Oh my God.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, has it been 10 years? I don't know.
Not yet, but we're closing in on it.
Has it been 10 years?
I mean, this will be the 10th year. 2014. Oh,
we're almost entering year 10. It's been 9 years.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God.
Let's start the show.
Jonathan Raylock, James III, Rob Milligan. What more can I say? You know what it is. Black men can jump.
Black actors, man. Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
I'm going to let him cook that chicken. I couldn't remember what the exact line was, but that gives you the gist.
I'm sorry. That's,
the other one I would have done is black jelly bean. Nobody likes that shit.
The black jelly bean bit was most forced. But I'm telling you, when it got to that, I mean, he killed 15 people in the house. I'm going to let him fry the chicken. I'm going to let him grill the chicken. I died. And Will was like, you know what? I'm going to go make some potato salad. Yeah, I'm gonna go over here. I was like, that bit was so well earned to me, man. Oh my goodness.
I also don't remember the exact line, but him being like, I gotta tell you, in a past life, I owned you. You were a donkey.
You were a donkey.
And I was a bad master. I'm sorry. But you were a stubborn ass.
Yeah. He's like, I used to beat you. I was like, bro.
I used to beat you.
What?
Okay, one more. I need Nasty Mike. I need Nasty Mike.
He just kept smacking it. First off, okay, this is my thing. We'll get into it. But man, they had some callbacks in this. Some I was here for. Some of them I was like, all right, y'all pushing this. I saw an interview with them and they were making references to the second one. And they were like, yeah, you know, the second one came out 21 odd years ago. And I was like, wait, what? And they're like, yeah, the first one was 30. And I was like, hold on a second now. What y'all talk about, right? What you mean the first one came out 30 years ago?
It's pretty clear that's how long ago these movies came out.
Nah, James. No, James.
Exactly. Look at them.
James,
look at them.
Do this on this podcast today, sir.
This is perhaps the only thing I'm going to be doing James, on this podcast.
You will not do this today.
They are not the bad boys they used to be. James. Will used to say, or somebody used to say, I can't remember if it was Will or not, but somebody, maybe it was Michael Bay with his... I don't like Michael Bay that much, but maybe it was Michael Bay. I mean, like, no, pretty soon it's going to be old boys. And I don't know. You know what I mean?
He said that?
Somebody said it. And it might have been Michael Bay. I don't know who it was. So I can't, you know, allegedly Michael Bay said this. I'll say.
I know. There is a part of me that's like, oh, like at a certain point, shouldn't other people be talking about these two retiring?
Yeah.
Because cops retire young, generally, like younger than most.
Just because they old, we don't have to have a movie where people just calling them old the whole time, baby.
Exactly. They don't need to be called old. I'm just saying that they clearly are. Like this movie, they are clearly.
Will's still young to me, bro. Will's still young to me. You know what, James? I see your energy before we start this podcast, and I'm going to tell you right now, James, I don't like it.
I appreciate them.
No. Don't do that best on both sides to me shit,
I think
James.
People of all ages should be able to do action films.
Nah, you hear it. Bray, you hear him now? You knew his energy.
I do.
You're the one started with, it's 30 years, I can't believe it. I'm just saying, I can't believe it.
That is true.
When y'all tell me Will Smith didn't look... Bro, no.
Look, Will Smith still looks good. But he is clearly older. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying he clearly is older.
I'm not even talking about looks. I'm talking about what they physically do in this movie versus what they used to do in the other movie. There was a point, I know we had not had initial thoughts, but there was a point where I was like, have they done much in the last four scenes? Like, there was
No, it's not. James, that's rude. I have heard you defend some of the worst of the worst. And I will tell you today, James III, you will not bring that energy.
This isn't talking shit about this movie. You're talking about their age.
Four scenes? No, nigga. They're building up to it. Because you know why? This budget was $100 million. They didn't have a lot of money for all the big woo wow wow.
They're building up to it.
Okay? So they had to savor the events.
The budget was how much did you just say?
100.
And they didn't have enough? Is that what you just said?
Bray, most of these movies are 250.
Yeah,
This movie costs $100 million.
Nowadays.
Furiosa costs 180. These movies.
That was Will's insane, salary. But that's what the.
$100 million is a lot of
Fall
money.
Fall Guy was over 100. What do you want me to do? I'm saying,
I don't know, man.
We'll get into it, but I'll be able to talk more specifically about
if
it.
If I could
as we
pin your
it.
Screen right now, James, I would, because I don't like the smile on your
pin
face,
it.
James.
Pin it. We will get into it.
I don't like this.
Wow. For those of you listening for the first time, I'm sorry. You have no idea what's going on.
Welcome. Welcome to chaos.
Welcome. This is Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood. We are a film review podcast. We review the films typically of leading Black actors in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. You know, sometimes recently we've been doing more popular movies of Black actors. It's maybe not the main star. Maybe they're the, you know, whatever. We've been doing this for a long time. So give us a break. Today, we're back on our mission. We got Bad Boys Ride or Die. This is AKA Bad Boys 4. Obviously starring Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. These films are no longer directed by Michael Bay. The directors are
Adele and Bilal?
And Bilal Fallah.
That's right. They were supposed to do Batgirl. I was so mad.
So technically, James, they did do Batgirl.
They did it. They fully did it. I mean,
no, they did do Batgirl.
I was so mad when it was when they just. I'm so mad.
Yeah. So they also directed Bad Boys for Life. This film just came out this past weekend. Had an opening weekend of $56 million.
Hey, let's go.
Over 100 total, baby.
Yeah, so far 105 million worldwide. So technically it's already made its money back. And it'll continue, I'm sure. So far looking pretty good, especially considering the state of the box office. We could also talk about, I know we were chatting offline a little bit about this, the box office. Did you want to say your piece, James? About your surprise that this was a surprise hit?
Oh, I was just surprised that 56 million is a surprise box office for this. I've been seeing more stuff about it, and I've also seen that people have considered this an upset. You know, like that, like some of it is wrapped up in
racism
and also, like, isn't Will Smith canceled? Idea of it. So I have a slightly different opinion about the box office than I did a few days ago, but I'll say this is feels low. 56 million feels low to me. Like, it's like this made 56 million.
I get that, because it is technically.
Then when I see the global being 104 105, it's like, okay, all right. Now I'm like, okay, this feels like an opening weekend numbers that I would have expected.
And to put it in perspective of what the box office is doing now, like Memorial Day weekend, which used to be, it's like that weekend and July 4th were considered like the best weekends for box office.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? It's like, yeah, like they used to call Will Smith Mr. July because his films typically open like July 4th weekend. They do huge numbers. And then like Memorial Day weekend, like Mission Impossible was always coming out around then. Yeah. Like it would just always be these big movies. This Memorial Day weekend, you had Furiosa and the Garfield movie come out, you know, and Furiosa made 32 million and the Garfield movie made 31 million, you know.
And that's surprising. Like Garfield, that's family. That was supposed to make the most money.
Because remember,
right?
Animated movies also, you know, like some animated movies, like some Pixar movies were making 60, 70, 80 million dollars opening weekend. Yeah. You know, Toy Story is probably made over 100, like the sequels. Mm-hmm.
And generally shorter. So like not only can they open to more audiences, but they're shorter so you can play it more. Yeah. So it could just in general make more money in the weekend regardless. So it's surprising that Garfield didn't make a lot of money.
Think about this. The weekend before Bad Boys Ride or Die came out, the weekend before, so May 31st to June 2nd, the top 10 grossing films in the box office that weekend combined made $60 million.
Wow. People are not going to theaters. People are not
what
going
is it? To people the are just picking and choosing because sometimes the movies come out so fast. Like I think I sent you guys the message, like If is finally doing well because families are finally going to see it. The same thing that happened with Elemental last year. They said the big test of the summer is going to be this weekend when Inside Out 2 comes out, because they said that movie is projected to make a lot of money. And if it falls short, they're like, well, this is a sequel of a beloved, you know, Pixar movie.
That's so interesting.
They up the cast with Io and Maya Hawke.
I think the kid movies are, to me, even harder in this era of like unlimited.
Hmm. Yeah.
Basically, what's essentially unlimited content, because like, the whole thing with the kids stuff is like, okay, you want to get the kids out of the house, you want to do, but like one, it's so, movies are so expensive now. They're so expensive,
yeah.
Especially if you live in a big city. If you live in a big city, it's crazy. Tickets are at least $20 and probably more, you know, depending on what theater you go to and what time or whatever. So you're spending like $20 a pop a ticket. You know, popcorn is like $15. You know, a drink is like another $12. Like, it's like, it's just so much money. And then for what? For like seeing something you could just see on
if you're taking your full TV? Family to see a movie, you're dropping $150. You know, like it's $150 for the outing. And it's kids go for less, but like depending on the time that you go, like you're dropping. It's like a lot. It's something that used to be like a casual thing is now like, oh, this is a bill. Like, yeah. This is a bill now. So I have to like be careful.
And then you have to think about the fact that you can see a lot of these movies on your streaming devices, not relatively soon after they come out, and like how much content they have now. But
Art, do you guys know if like, do they count streaming number? Because I remember when like Trolls was released digitally during the height of the pandemic. Trolls 3. They were like, oh, this is going to actually change the shape of the future of movies because this did so well digital.
That's because Trolls, remember that was like, it was at the height of COVID and people had to buy it. Whereas I like that, like right now, I know you can buy Fall Guy for like $20.
But it's renting, right? Like, it's renting if you have a ticket to see it. Okay.
Yeah. And it's what's so tricky about it too is that, I don't remember which studio did Fall Guy. I think it was Universal. So most likely Fall Guy will be on Peacock before July is over. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like before July is over, that movie's probably going to be on Peacock. Whereas I think what people need to find out is when you watch Top Gun did so well, it was in theaters for 3 months. Like, If it's been in theaters for about a month and it's finally making its money back because it's a kid's movie in theaters,
And even 3 months is short compared to like Titanic, which for a long time had the biggest box office ever, right? All time, until Avatar came out. But that movie opened at like, I think its opening weekend was like $24 million, maybe 25. Mm-hmm. Like it literally just stayed in theaters for like 8 months. And like each weekend was like 24, 22, 18, 20, 23.
Yeah, we knew the ending going in that movie.
It was just like, boop.
And I said this before, and I'll say it again, but like a movie like My Big Fat Greek Wedding, which only built in box office because of word of mouth and how big it got. I remember like months had passed and it was in theaters for like, I don't know. It felt like a year to me. And the day it came out on DVD, I remember selling a ticket to it in the theaters. And that was like rare and weird and strange, but it was like still at my theater. And I sold, and I remember telling the person as they were going in, oh, it just came out on DVD today. And the look on their face of like, I could have just bought this. Like I didn't have to be, And so it's so different now, like how long things stay.
It is. I feel like they're crippling it almost. Also, I think these budgets are just so high and it's like, how can you expect? I think there's whatever. We'll get into it.
Some of it's fake. All right. I do think some of it's fake. Some of it's like some Hollywood accounting where they're just writing stuff off because if it looks like they're not making that much money, you know what I mean? It's like tax stuff, like all that stuff. It's very like, wait a minute, anyway. That being said, we're here to review Bad Boys, Ride or Die. Oh, the person you're listening to now, by the way, if you're wondering, because there are three of us and you're like, whose voice is who? I've been listening for 25 minutes.
Has it been 25 minutes already?
And you guys haven't even introduced yourself. Well, the voice that you're listening to now that sounds like a young Will Smith, that's Jonathan Braylock.
That's crazy you said that.
Okay, now the old Will Smith.
Crazy you said that. That's crazy. You know what I mean?
Mike Lowry.
The first time Will has that perfect fake black man voice that you can just drop into at any time when you need to be a black man. Oh, man, that's crazy, man. Anyway, this voice is that of Gerard Milligan.
And this voice is James III.
James, you sound like them people who call from them anonymous numbers.
Yeah.
Talking about somebody I can give you money back on your taxes.
I might be a robot. You like don't know if I'm a robot or if like,
you're just working.
Just came in the system.
That's some call sounds like.
Yeah. That is what I sound like. I'll take it.
Yeah, like we said, $105 million opening weekend. Let's see, what does it have currently on Rotten Tomatoes? It has a 63% audience score.
Damn.
Or sorry, critics.
Okay, that makes way more sense.
yeah. Why did I say audience?
Audience got to be higher. What's the audience score?
Audience score is 97%.
That's right. Damn. That's right. That's right.
Damn. That is aggressive.
That's right.
Yo.
That's right.
So aggressive.
That makes sense to me. 30, this exact. This 33%, exact.
Yeah.
The difference that makes it all make
still
sense.
Fresh. Still fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Critics score. 90,
dog, that is crazy.
97%.
What's up, y'all? Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earnin'.
Earnin' is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period.
Ooh, man, listen, you can use Earnin' for a variety of things, like a special night out if you got a big date, a last minute gift, you know, Father's Day is coming up. I mean, listen, James, I could get you a little something for Father's Day, you know?
Be hey, like, listen, yo, Maddie, I would appreciate it.
Yeah, you know,
I always appreciate the, like, when you give somebody a gift for one of those days, but they are not your father or mother or whatever. You know, I always like that. It's always nice.
Yeah, so you see the work. You see the work. Just download Earnin' a Day, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple Store.
When you download the Earnin' app, type in Jump under Podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Jump under Podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details.
Earnin' is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Don't earn out, earn in.
All right, shall we get into our initial thoughts? And should I start?
Yeah, you go ahead, because I
feel like you both have a strong...
Yeah, you go ahead, Bray.
I'll start. As everyone should know, you know, I love Will Smith. Gerard loves Will Smith. James loves Will Smith. You know, we were, you know, I'll speak for myself. I was disappointed with the slap, obviously.
Niggas fight! You know what I'm saying?
It happened, you know. I only bring that up to say, and I remember we talked about this too at the time, like it was just disappointing because it robbed even him and all of us, all the fans, obviously, of the moment, you know, it kind of ruined that thing and whatever. But there's a reason I love Will Smith, and this film is, it clearly shows why. Like, this movie is fun. I liked it. Will and Martin are a great duo. They are getting older, but it is still fun to watch them. I think this movie is also insane. There are some parts that are just truly wild. I thought the actual script was like whatever. I thought the directing of this movie was like, it almost felt like these guys were like, you didn't get to see Batgirl or so like we're gonna show you like, We're gonna direct a movie like we might never get to direct a movie again.
Sure.
That's kind of what it 100%. Felt like. It was like, we're gonna do everything we want, everything we think is cool and wanna do, and we're just gonna try stuff out. And if it works, it does, whatever, we're just gonna have fun with it and act like this is our last film we get to direct.
Hell yeah.
Which at times really worked, and at other times I was like, what's going on? I will say, I forgot. I actually didn't listen to the last podcast we did about the third one. I think I was somewhat critical of Martin Lawrence, or at least saying that like it seemed like Martin Lawrence was out of it. I felt like in this film he was back, and part of that probably is actually in credit to the script because of this thing that they did, which I thought was the best thing of the script, which is like they gave him a reason to be crazy, which is, he has a near-death experience and thinks that he can't die. And that made everything work. Like, that was cool. And that dynamic and the beats they kept hitting from that was awesome.
Which is a thing that people feel. Like, so that is a real thing people feel sometimes.
That we can't die. Like, that there are people who like get a feeling that they cannot die. Okay.
Yeah. After near-death experiences.
Yeah, they have some premonition or whatever, and they have this feeling of invincibility. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something happens. I think in wartime that happened, like sometimes people go out, they wind up like not getting shot and they're like, maybe I can't die. You know, it's just like,
yeah.
So my biggest critique, and I'll let you guys go, story-wise, I think it was hard for me. The Will's son thing, That was tough. Yeah. Like it was hard for several reasons, but the main one being that his son did kill, you know, Joey Pants.
Our best friend.
Yeah, like it's
that
like
was a different person.
The dichotomy of that was just like it was just too much. And like I know Will did his best in like trying to play all of those varying emotions, but it just didn't make any sense. And I also didn't understand why they were doing it.
People change, Bray. People change. Mm-hmm.
I believe people change, but
he murdered like 1,500 people.
It wasn't a story about change. Like it wasn't really actually a story about change. Anyway, so that's it. You know, that I didn't love as much, but I'm excited to talk about it and hear what you guys think.
Let the hater go first.
Yeah, no, I assumed I was going to go next. Now, first of all, I have to say, I'm not going to hate on this movie, okay?
Yeah,
I'm not going to fully tear this movie apart. And I don't think it deserves to be fully torn apart. I have to first, I didn't go back and listen to our other episodes, but I have to first say, I have always been pro Bad Boys 1. And I have felt like the tone of the sequels have not quite been able to capture what I am excited about with that first Bad Boys movie, which felt like a little bit more grounded than its following.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Than the movies that followed. So, like, I think, like, I maybe didn't even, like, we all gave Bad Boys 2 a fist, but I was, like, hating on it for it not being as, you know, like that. So I have to first say that.
Sure.
Right?
Because Bad Boys 2 is wild.
Wild. It's a wild
movie.
It's
very Michael Bay.
Yes. Very Michael Bay. The last 30 minutes.
Exactly. So, but then that being said, given that there are now 4 movies, Bad Boys is probably more that energy than it is the first movie. And so like to a degree, it's like, am I a fan of Bad Boys or am I a fan of Will Smith and Martin? I'm more a fan of Will Smith and Martin. Right. That's my preface, right? When I saw the trailer of this movie, I thought, my God, these jokes don't feel like they're all that strong at all, or that are there even any jokes in this? Okay. And I'll just say, like,
there are a couple,
but for the most part, a lot of it felt like saying things in a funny way and not like things being human. Now, look, I've been seeing people put this as like their number 2 Bad Boys movie. So I'm happy to be wrong about that. But like, I didn't enjoy a lot of the comedy in this. I felt like Martin was back. I was so thankful that Martin was back. I feel like these movies didn't take Martin as seriously as the first movie took Martin seriously. And in this one, like him being able to have fun and be crazy again, I thought was like, great. It's so great to see him back in this way. In terms of that comment that I made about like, are they doing much? I think it comes down to like, there's a lot of like waiting that happens in this movie that I think happens around the end of Act 2 and into the beginning of Act 3, where they're kind of like, where it's like, we see that whole action sequence where Reggie like takes down everybody. And it's like, oh yeah, they're literally passive in this. They're just watching Reggie take these guys down. I'm not saying that they needed to be there or should have been there or like that should have been a moment for them, but like somewhere around there it started to feel like not much had really been happening from their perspective. They're mostly just been like on the run. I'm trying to.
I mean, that airplane scene is pretty.
Yeah, no, the airplane scene was incredible. The action in this was fantastic. There's like what, 4 big actions set pieces? Maybe five.
Yeah, do you count Reggie's?
Yeah. If you don't count Reggie,
maybe five. I'm talking about for them.
Oh, for them as well.
Yeah, and then if you add it, there's a lot of action sequences in this. I'm just talking about for my bad boys. You know. I couldn't believe how many times they say bad boys in this, and not just singing the song, but like people call it, like Joey Pants is calling them bad boys. Somebody else is like, well, here come the bad boys. I was like, why are we doing
that? Joey Pants line.
I'm here for it.
And there's other stuff too that I feel like I can talk about more specifically as we get into it. In terms of the like bizarre, crazy, like action sequences, it felt the direction was weird. Like that scene when they kill, the hacker, the basketball player. What's his name? I can never remember. John Sally.
Oh, John Sally.
Sally. When they kill him, in that sequence, you didn't see where any of the bullets were going. You didn't see the bullet. I didn't feel like you could track that action sequence. It was just like bullets, things exploding. No, there wasn't a cohesively directed action sequence for me. But everything else I had, I loved the POV and the flipping and all that. Like if we want to go full on absurdity, Fast and Furious with these movies now, I'm okay with that. I'm okay if we had three more movies that were just absurd action with these guys being, you know, bouncing off of each other. I would be perfectly fine with doing more of this. So that's those are my initial thoughts. Okay.
All right, listen, I respect that. I respect that, James. I'm gonna tell y'all this right now. Okay, this movie was blockbuster perfection. Okay, okay. Every joke. I don't care how blockbuster's got corny jokes.
I don't care how corny.
Every joke. Arnold Schwarzenegger made a career off of saying shit like "hanging there." Like that's what we do. That's what this is. We're making an action block. Okay. Eddie Murphy used to be like, "Hey, the banana in the tailpipe." This shit is dumb. Like they did dumb perfectly. I think for me, even if we didn't have those two action scenes with Reggie and the son, I think four is enough because I think you need it to space out what the fuck was happening. And I think because they're older, it lent more to it. But also, spoiler alert, the fact that Reggie got a 10-minute action scene of fucking up people.
That was satisfying.
I was annoying the brain because I was hyped when Reggie was... The moment I saw Reggie in the house, I was like, oh, shit! It's Reggie! This is the little kid who they punked 20 fucking years ago, dog. This is such a built-up moment.
Well... Once they set him up as a Marine, we were like, well, we got to see
him. He got to do it.
We got to see him.
Bro.
He's a Marine?
When his son is in jail and he's like, these motherfuckers are coming. And I'm looking at this nigga get the 45-pound weight. He's swinging a 45-pound weight with ease, bro. With ease. I'm here for all this. I'm here for, first off, I love and, you know, like Bray said, Will Smith, I love. I was texting him earlier. I've been listening to other film podcasts led by white men in particular, and everybody's been just going in on their shock. And I think even one podcast, I should say this motherfucker's name because I was so mad. He was like, oh, the marketing really leaned towards blacks and Latinos. That's why I made that much money. And I was like, so what the fuck does that mean? I remember, and he said it.
What?
You know what? Fuck it. The town podcast. This motherfucker goes, oh, they marketed towards black and Latinos. That's why it did well. And he said it in a way that sounded disparaging.
That's
and I
why
was like,
it did well.
And I was like, first off, yeah, because we like seeing movies. Then he's talking about then he says some bullshit about maybe he's like Tom Cruise where you can watch his movies, but he's not a good person. I'm like, first off, bro, I'm going to be straight up honest. People fight all the fucking time. You know who still got nominated for Oscars? Roman fucking Polanski. You know what I'm saying? You know who still can go to the Oscars? Okay. Fucking. Literally, Casey Affleck won an Oscar while he was being investigated, bro. Nobody say nothing to these white dudes. Sean Penn. No one says anything to Woody fucking Allen. But I got to sit here and be mad that yes, of course, it's embarrassing. Will Smith, smack Chris Rock. But you know who had to deal with that shit? Black folk. Chris Rock. And Will Smith, they're like, he's canceled. I ain't cancel that nigga. I'm like, niggas fight? Yeah, I got in my biggest fight with Bray. Bray, do you remember this? I got my biggest fight with Bray. I show up to a commercial audition. The next day, this nigga's here.
I do remember that.
We go in together. We still ain't resolved this shit, and we book the shit. And we book it. Literally, I'm in the waiting room.
I didn't Tess
is
book
like,
that
Bray
audition.
Is coming.
I was called back many times.
But I think it's because we went in. I'm sitting in the waiting room. Bray's like, you know, John's on the way. And I'm like, let that nigga come. I remember sitting in there. That nigga can come. But people fight and get shit happens, bro. And so the mere fact everyone's like, we're shocked. This is his comeback. He finally got a chance. I'm like, that shit sucks to hear because they don't do that for anybody else. And you know what? I want this movie to have legs, baby. Let me tell you why, James. Let me
why
tell
are you yelling
why.
At me.
No, Jay, that's for you. Because them jokes, even though they was corny, they dads, baby. They granddads. Those are granddad ass jokes.
I don't think they were. I don't think they were dad jokes either.
They 1996 jokes. You know what I mean? I'm here for it. Let's get into it, baby. I will say, Bray, you're right about the sun. But also, at one point...
Oh, I forgot. That bothered me, too.
I knew the son was going to get away. Like, the moment he started helping, I'm like, they got to help.
It was clear that's where it was heading. I mean, they had a whole, like, hey, like, mom, you got to forgive him. You know? He saved me, and it's like, okay, there's a difference between I'm not going to kill you and, like, you still need to belong
in
jail.
Yes.
You're a murderer.
Yeah, and also wouldn't that little girl know that that's who killed Pop Pop? Like, she would know that's who killed Pop Pop. Like
he should be in jail.
Yeah, he should be in jail. And they set this up at the end of the last Bad Boys movie as well, which was frustrating. I was like, as much as I was like, oh, I don't think they're gonna try to make another one, you know, cause that's why they called this Bad Boys for Life. Like, they set up, you know, little openings for the next movie with him in it, and it's just like, why are we setting up that this boy is like someone we love, like we he's family and we love, like, it just doesn't make sense.
Because he will son.
It's also like, and Will, I mean, it was a big moment in the third movie for Will not to kill him, right?
Yeah, it was like, but it, yeah.
Yes.
But like, that is more about hit Will, like Mike Lowry's character growing and not being, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And but then they made it like, No, we love this guy. We can't have this character. And it was like, I don't think that's true. Like, why did you guys think that audiences fell in love with, and no disrespect to this actor. I mean, he's good.
I think the actor's good.
Oh, did you? You fell in love with what's his name?
I fell in love with, I got his name up right now.
I'll say, I loved him in this. I loved him in this. And
he's British, by the way.
And you know, like, I like him. I like his acting, and I liked that he overcame what was going on in his past in this movie. But I didn't overcome it. I love Joey Pants. I love him.
He's in the Expendables 4. Yeah, Joey Pants is who we actually,
love. Killed him. I don't
also, they
like
could have just
you,
shot him and injured him. I feel like movies sometimes just be killing people, and I'm like, you do know you still have stakes when somebody is on death's door. Stop. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I mean, it was shocking.
Yeah, that is true.
It was shocking.
I will say
it
this.
It was like, whoa.
This movie, I think, what is his character's name? Armando. I do think Armando was a better villain in the third one than this guy was in this one.
Oh, we had a horrible villains in this one.
Yeah. Armando was
first of all, you know. I mean, let's keep talking about it. But first of all, Jarrell pulled a me with us. Like, he just literally, I hate this. I mean, literally 5 minutes into the film, the first, like, the exact introduction of Mr. Fantastic, aka what's his name?
What is Mr. Fantastic's name?
Ian Gruffit. That's how you pronounce it. It's Ian, right?
I O A N. Yeah.
Jarrell sees him and he just goes, leans to me, and he's like, "He's the big bad." And I was like, "What?"
Oh,
and then,
no!
And then, literally, after Jarrell said that, like, 4 more minutes in, there was a part of me that was like, I don't know. The big bad could also,
no way,
it could
bro.
Be her. And then I was like, no, he's right. I was like, it's so crazy. Like, we barely even established
his
character.
It was always going to be him.
I was like, he's a big bad. And I was like, well, what about this FBI guy? It could be the FBI guy. And then it was like, and then when the FBI guy came in so hot, I was like, oh, no, it's
clearly
not him.
I didn't even tweet it the day before we saw this movie. I don't know what happened, but I was sitting in my house and I just got mad. I was like, fucking Braylock ruined us. I remember the moment that happened. Like, nothing happened. I remember sitting in my house and being like, that fucker ruined us. I remember.
Wait, so when us, I just can't remember it. When us started, you told
James. this man, they're not, the movie ain't start. Literally, the girl gets got and the family is going to the vacation home.
Yeah, they're in the car.
And they're dancing, and Bray goes, she's counting on the ones and threes. And I was like, this motherfucker.
She's counting on the ones.
Immediately,
they're singing, "I got five on it," and then she couldn't. She was doing the wrong beat, and I was like, That's the shit. I literally immediately I was like, she got taken as a child, and that's the mirror version or whatever the flip is. Like, that's not
James. Yeah. You gotta understand. When he did this, the Lapita in red, no one in red has showed up yet.
Yeah.
Like this
That's like a deeper
twist than this. Like, this guy already comes in hot with some strange energy.
No, the us thing was a deeper thing. It was like
this shit was so
for me to get that clue, because I was like, that's a clue they leave in, so when you go back, right, you're like, you know, when you're watching Sixth Sense, you're like, did you notice that the blah blah blah, you know? And I was like, I noticed that immediately.
But also, I do know I annoy Bray with the anytime I see a famous person in a mystery, like, even if it's a side character, I'm like, what's that nigga? Like, why would they put him in this movie?
It was more that for me. Like, it was like, because he was not in three, right? Like, he just shows up in this. No. I was like, well, here, clear.
And they're at, but to be fair, they were doing that a lot in this movie. They were acting hey, you guys know these people. We're like, no, I don't.
Also, I will say, to actually get to the opening of the movie, when we're rushing to the wedding, why was Will not just marrying Rita? Like, wasn't that, like, didn't in the last movie they established that Will's character and Rita had this history, so much so that in this movie they like kind of address it twice, and they just, I was like, why is he?
I don't know.
Who is this new woman? Like, why? I will say the opening of this movie fun. They had a bunch of callbacks. I love the opening. Yeah. I love the speeding of the scene. I love the fact that now, instead of getting the Bubblicious and Skittles, like, Martin can't get it because he has high blood pressure, so he can't keep doing this. I thought that scene was, and also I thought that black guy who was the bodega owner just being like, that ain't mine. I thought the timing of those jokes were just.
Yeah, this opening sequence was fun.
It was fun. Yeah.
Like, you know, it was just a little, also, you know what it is? It showed, and I think both of you guys are hit on this. Like, growing up, I know we always talk about it, but like, Martin and Will were the two black men. Like, in a household, you either pick one or you were a diehard for both. And I was like a diehard for both. So to see Martin, and I know he's not fully the Martin we remember, but to see him like pushing and trying was like, yeah, man. Like,
he was back for me especially in this scene. The something that they do that I love is like their energy is so big that they diffuse situations just by being big characters. So the guy's there with the gun to the face, and he's like, "You don't want to deal with. I know you got a gun, but we're gonna have to deal with this man coming in here." And then he comes in, and they're just like, "Oh," and they don't care about the gun.
He's
at
like,
all.
"Like, yeah, you're late." He's like, he's got a gun to my face. You care about, you want to deal with him or you want to deal with me? You know,
I loved that.
That was so funny.
Sorry, sir. I have to leave. I thought that shit was, I thought it was so good. Also, going to Bray's, like, I don't know why I was talking so much in this movie. I think I was happy to be out of the house, but also we're watching Bad Boys. Yeah, I know I was hyped for Bad Boys.
Yeah.
But at one point, when we get to the wedding and Martin's dancing and like he goes into this, when he goes into the afterlife or whatever this astral plane is.
Unbelievable.
Oh my God.
The direction in this movie, it almost felt like James said, we didn't get to do Batgirl. We got Bad Boys.
Said that.
We got drones. Like, dude, there were so many fast circular drone shots around people. I was like, then the drone goes around Martin dancing after he gives the speech. And then he like falls into the water and then goes upside down.
And then he like sees the tree of life, and it's like he like flashes, and then they flash to like the first Bad Boys, like clips of the first Bad Boys, and you're just like, what's going on?
This was a real vision. The fact that he had real prophetic vision in this sequence, when it happened, I was like, okay, the only way this could work for me is if he keeps almost dying and Captain keeps getting more and more. It's not your time. Like,
That'd be funny.
And it's just like, something happening in Martin's psyche, you know?
That'd
like,
be funny.
Instead, it was like, no, this, the location that Cap is at is a real location you're going to go to.
The sincerity to which Joey Pants delivered these lines in this thing, when it was like, it's felt so crazy, like it felt like it was supposed to be funny, and then all of a sudden we were like, wait, this is supposed to be serious? Like, what's
he was a guide, right? He was doing his you have come.
It's like, it's not your time.
Listen, man, that scene was insane. But I will say, like, so we had that scene. All of a sudden, he wakes up in the hospital, gets up immediately, will sleep, and he just walks around naked.
And am I don't fully remember the, I've been thinking about the third movie. And I'm like, man, I don't remember how the third movie starts. I have
zero idea what happens in the third movie.
They target cops in the third one.
But don't they? Oh, right. But doesn't Will almost die?
Yes,
in the
he
third
does.
One?
Yeah. So they run up, they basically try to kill every cop that had to do with whatever the case the mom was with.
Right.
And so they come up and try to shoot Will. And I think they do. They like shoot him in the,
They shoot him. Mm-hmm.
And he goes to the hot. I just remember seeing the beginning of this and being like, are they just doing the exact same thing? Like, it just felt, it wasn't exactly the same, but it was just like, in the third movie, we had Martin go into the hospital, like checking on Will. And now
it's a lot of repeat beats in that. Like, this movie is almost a greatest hits of the Bad Boys movies that have came before it.
It sound like Force Awakens and Jurassic World and Creed to me.
Yeah, exactly. This is a thing that happened.
That's why I love it, baby. Give me this.
Yeah, but most of those movies are tough to rewatch. It's tough to...
Yeah, to be clear, Jurassic World, not
yeah,
great, as
yeah,
we know.
It's hard to rewatch.
I know James loved it when he first
saw
it.
You ask me
but...
that in 5 years, I'm going to be like, this movie had flaws, but as of 2024...
It's
maybe
like,
it is.
It almost feels like a greatest hits. What do you call it? The Last Terminator, which I also enjoyed at the time.
Same.
It was like a greatest Terminator hits of all the Terminators that came before.
Wait, you don't like it? I haven't watched it since I saw it.
It's hard to rewatch because it's not as, it doesn't feel new.
I don't remember. Like,
it was pretty, damn, you haven't watched
it. It's hard to rewatch. I have rewatched it. It's just tough to rewatch.
I gotta look at my favorite voodoo password.
But that also brings up another thing that I in terms of like the movie's not taking Martin seriously, like, you know, because throughout this movie, Will is having panic attacks and they're treated very seriously. It's like the music slows down, we push in on his face, the heavy breathing happens. This man is having a real panic attack. You know, when Martin is dealing with his trauma. In past movies, it becomes goofy, like therapy, woo-sah. Like it's a joke. Yeah. It's a running joke. Will almost dies in the third movie. And it's like, he just almost died. He's just in the hospital. Like, we're just like, we might have a funeral for this man. Mm-hmm. And how Martin is behaving. He's like, you know, it's like kind of silly how much he's crying over it, but they like treat it serious. You know what I mean? They treat it like he's might almost die. Whereas like Martin's death is like this weird premonition that's almost funny.
So James, so about that, I had a friend, I had a couple friends, shout out to Shakira and a couple other folks, who sent me a bunch of links and I guess there's like a documentary on Netflix right now about people who have almost died. And
like flatliners.
And a lot of them literally react apparently like Martin.
Right.
It was they have this euphoric kind of energy where they're like, I can't die, or I've seen the other side, or they have this new breath of life. So they're like, it is like a manic like thrust. And I think honestly, it feels so, because at first it took me a while to get into it, but also I realized I have rarely ever seen someone in a movie deal with a near-death experience like this. Because usually in a movie it's like, I gotta go on a trip around the world, or I gotta like tell the person I love them. Whereas at least in this documentary and this podcast I listened to, it is this. It is like a euphoric high. It's almost like these people are like on Adderall.
Yeah.
And so to see Martin constantly be like, my dick working, baby. Apparently that's a thing. apparently you have. Like,
sure.
Totally. Sure. I think James is just commenting on how, but this is what we talked about this. We talked about this with the third one. They have now very firmly established since Bad Boys 2, this dynamic of like Martin being a little bit more of the comedic.
Yeah.
Lead,
yeah.
True. You know? And Will being like the serious whatever. The thing that's just strange about this is, like I said, because they had, it was like the panic attack stuff too. Like I didn't mind it. It just felt strange because it was like, well, if he was going to have panic attacks, wouldn't he have had those in the third movie?
Yeah.
Like after he just almost died? Like I don't know. It was just like, it just like felt like it came out of nowhere a little bit. And then I didn't quite understand.
Right, because they also aren't motivated by, because seemingly the panic attacks are motivated by the responsibility that he now feels like he has
right, because for his wife.
But the first time he has a panic attack, he's just trying to get to Martin, you know. But maybe it's like he thinks he's not going to come home. You know, who knows what actually ignites it, but.
Yeah, to me, when I saw it, because when they did it, he had flashbacks of his wife. It felt like he had stuff to lose now.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
before, yeah. he was the one who was like the single dude just in the streets.
Which, yeah, makes sense. Like, that does make sense. I just feel like the big problems with that, obviously, is one, they introduced the wife at the beginning.
Yeah,
of
we don't know her.
Like, well, we don't know her.
Which is crazy.
We don't know her. The character that we love and have followed is literally a playboy. So much so that in the second movie, he was secretly dating his partner's sister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then in the third movie, he ain't dating his partner's sister anymore. Like, that's how much this dude does not care. Like, and it's like, not that he can't change and settle down, but it's like weird to not show us mm-hmm. that.
Yes.
Like, it's weird that that happens off screen and we come back and he's like, well, now he is a husband and he cares about. You're just like, okay.
And it could have been Gabrielle Union. Like, that could have been who he was married.
It could have been Gabrielle.
Why wasn't it? I don't, like, that's the thing that I truly don't understand. Like, why wasn't it somebody who he had a connection with in the past? Like, why just bring in a new person who, for, I will say, like, as like this, it like it's not a Michael Bay film, but like this is pretty like old school, like male driven. Like you got a female character in here who is just a damsel. She's literally a wife and a damsel in distress. Like we know nothing about her. Yeah. Like I know they say like technically like she's like I don't know.
She was his therapist.
His therapist.
Okay, physical therapist or whatever. Yeah, but it was just like we don't know her. Like we don't really see much chemistry. It's weird also knowing how strong his romantic interests have been in the other films, like Taye Leone and like Gabrielle Union. Like those are like strong presence. And then this is like,
they brought Rita back. Like literally in the last movie.
They have Rita. It's just like,
what? They established him and Rita had a thing and she's in the movie. Like she's in Lily at the wedding. She's like, they had this conversation. He's like, oh yeah, you know, sometimes you got to grow up. She was like, you were 50. So like, clearly they still have like a weird energy. It was like, just right. make it Rita.
Because his wife is going to die at the beginning of the next movie. And by the end of that movie, he's going to finally be with her. And that's what it's going to be. That's exactly what it's going to be.
I think at one point, one of them does have to die and it probably should be Will. But also, listen, God bless to this actress. I saw her and I was like, honestly, I'd risk it all as well. God bless Will. The part I love, sorry.
She also looks so much younger than
him. I think she's like 15. I think she's a solid 15 years because Will is.
Is this Melanie Libert? Is that who it was?
Yeah, she's like 14 years younger.
Oh, she's also English. Oh, wait, that's right. She had an English accent. They didn't try to hide that, actually.
Yeah. I haven't seen her in much before.
No, me neither.
Guess she was in Ghosts. I also don't watch Ghosts. It says she was in Game of Thrones. Did you watch Game of Thrones?
I did, but it says here she's a street red priestess Mirren, and she's in one episode. So it sounds like she's not a big.
Got it.
Not a big role.
Listen, she made it to Bad Boys.
I watched Book Two.
Yeah, this is like her first big movie, right? Yeah. Looks like she's pretty much done TV.
Maybe God bless her for getting that audition. You know what I'm saying?
Anyway, I mean, we've been talking a lot. Should we just skip ahead to like stuff that
we have to?
Well, I was going to say this this prison fight scene. I know there's more. This bad guy, boring. We introduce him. He's just like, he looks like, you know, no offense to this guy, but it's just like a generic looking, you know, big, muscly white dude. It just has nothing. There's nothing there.
Which sucks because he's a good actor. He's the dad on Euphoria. And some of his scenes are just freaking awesome. And it's like, you just didn't give him anything to chew in this movie. But, you know.
Yeah, his character is just so like vanilla. Like, I don't know. I hate when I do hate when action movies do this, because to me, the best action movies usually have a very interesting, it doesn't have to be the focus, but like at least give us some sort of presence.
Yeah.
And I'll say his son in the third movie has way more engagement and charisma than.
But is that the problem? Because like, I mean, I don't not to disparage any Heart of Gold drug dealers out there, but like, isn't the, like, they're just like doing working cases that are just like, these guys have a lot of drugs and we gotta stop them. And this one's like, somebody's, you know, dirty,
trying to,
you know,
like, it's like, but to me, it's like the person that they're hiring to cover and clean everything up. That person could be interesting.
That character feels like
a more interesting character. It's not just like generic, you know, henchman of a kingpin.
Yeah. Also, he has a good backstory. Like to me, I wish they would have went into more of, because again, I personally have a lot of relatives who were in Vietnam, and now that I'm an adult, I'm understanding them a bit more and what it was like and what they came back to. And to see this guy who's in Afghanistan, who got captured and was tortured for, was it 2 weeks or 2 months or something like that?
It was a good amount of time.
And it's like, what does, to me, like that says a lot about like why this man is doing what he's doing, but we didn't get to know him that well.
Yeah. And also, isn't he still in active duty to an extent, right? Because he's the inside man. So they could have had layers there too. Like we could have seen him like playing both sides.
Agreed. And then when he has his you know speech or whatever, we can hear, and then we get his flashback about what happened to him, like why he did it. You know, I just felt like there was so much we could have gotten from that guy. Knowing his acting pedigree, I just think you could have got a lot out of him. Also, I feel like a really good action movie, the villain is really good. And a lot of times, and this probably will annoy Bray too, but a lot of times to me, I can tell when the villain is going to be good is if the movie starts with the villain. Like, usually, like if you think about The Dark Knight, I'm trying to think of what else.
Black Panther. Yeah.
Like a lot of these movies start with the villain because the villain is just as important to parallel the hero.
Well, especially in sequels.
Especially sequels. Because we already know the heroes. You know what I mean? Like we know.
Because we know the heroes. Right.
Even Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Did Creed 3 start with?
It started with them as young. It
started with them as young.
It technically did because it started with like Jonathan Majors' character kind of like pulling him in and, you know.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it did. It did.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah, establishing something there, right?
Just to know what's lurking. But this movie, I think, was fun. We did get that scene of the villain when he first appears and he goes to the accountant's house and, you know.
Yo, that was crazy.
I mean, he does kill everybody in the house.
It was brutal, but it wasn't scary. It felt like, oh, here's just a, like, you know what it is? Like, I don't know. It just felt like that whole time I was like, okay, you're just picking on two people had no idea.
Yes.
Like they had no idea it was coming.
Yes.
And then you like kill a innocent woman.
Yeah.
Because you're just covering your tracks. But like you weren't, like sometimes they do it in a way where it's like, they're going to make like, oh, this person seems like they're nice or something. Mm-hmm. And then they like kill them like, you know, suddenly and you don't think that's going to happen or whatever. The whole time you're like, well, he's definitely killing her. And then he does. And you're just like, okay.
Even to your point, Bray, like even if you watch Inglourious Basterds, when Christoph Waltz shows up at the house.
Yes. Like, oh my God. I mean,
he
come
is
on.
So charming. We get that one shot when it pans down and you see people under, and he's the whole time you're like, oh, they may get out of this. Cause he's, and then all of a sudden he says the people under the stairs and it's like, oh shit. You know what I mean? It's like,
right.
And so to me in this scene, you're right. You either needed that or you needed him to be around scarier people. He needed the prison thing. He needed to like, I'm going to the biggest dog in the yard and I'm fighting that dog brutally.
Yeah, killing that. Yeah.
Like even again, my God. Was it the best Marvel movie? Not the best, one of the best. Infinity War. It's literally he shows up, he sees the Hulk, and he beats the shit out of the Hulk. No Infinity Stones. He's like, I'm gonna body this man.
Yeah.
Like, and you're like,
dang it.
Damn.
Like,
okay.
And it's not close. Like he literally at one point.
No, it's not close.
He boxes the Hulk and just like the Hulk is just taking his and gets like body slammed. Oh, so good. But anyway, can we get to my favorite scene though? I'm sorry. Just gonna skip. We can
sure.
Jump
what's your favorite scene?
Reggie scene, y'all. This Reggie scene.
Oh, that's really.
No, I'm sorry. We can skip around. I know we're skipping around. Go ahead. This Reggie scene was so cool to me because, like, I think one of you guys said, like, and when they established he was in the military in the third one, I'm like, oh, we're gonna see him do it. We never saw him do it. I almost forgot about it in this movie until Martin had that joke, like, you eating my snacks? He's like, no, you need to go back to deployment. I just got here a week ago. You know, all these kind of things to let you know he's, like, very active. But the moment they're calling and, like, Reggie, they're coming in the house and Reggie automatically gets up. And my thing is, Reggie was doing, first off, you can tell these guys grew up playing Modern Warfare and video games, because there's two sequences in this movie that came straight out of video games. Reggie is, like, shooting through people as the camera goes. Like, he's shooting, walking over him, going around somebody else. It was so fantastic. I am cheering for Reggie.
It was incredible.
Bro, Will Smith said they made that actor train for that, what was it, like four to six months, six to seven days a week for that one sequence to make sure he, like, got it right.
That's great.
Because the actor doesn't appear in that many movies. I think he really only does the Bad Boy films.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But it's great that they did that, because it's like there's so many times where you see someone holding a gun in a movie and it's like it does not feel like they even you know,
yeah,
like they, you know, yeah, they're supposed to be like an expert marksman or whatever, and they're like the gun is like flopping around, you know, something weird like that. Yeah, that's great. That I love that. We all cheered. The whole audience, our whole audience.
Yeah. Oh, that was cool. Dude. It was so cool.
Oh my God.
I mean, it was insane, because at the end of this thing where he's just like ferociously murdering people left and right, and then his final kill, he does it, and then he goes over to one of the like security cameras and then
yes. Oh my goodness.
And you're just like
Ray lost it at Dallas.
It was incredible. Incredible.
You had that, and then also I'm sorry, look man, the way they set up this son to be such a badass, like, to me,
yeah, this fight was like crazy.
Incredible. Also,
this is how the big bad should have been set up. They let this man, first
that
off,
is
we
true.
See him. We see him in a cage by himself. He's in a room guarded in a double cage by himself. First off, Martin is hilarious in this scene when he's like, he's shitting on the guy's mother the whole time. And he's like, he's right there. I mean, rest in peace. Like, he's literally like crapping on this dude's mom. But then when you see him, he is literally swinging a 45-pound weight, then kettlebells. I'm like,
crazy.
The only thing that made me mad about this scene is that because he was so badass in this scene, it's no way he was getting fucked up in that last scene. I refuse to believe it. Not about these two. Yeah. Not about that scrawny little boy. Like,
I think it's fair to say he was compromised because he was trying to protect.
Okay. Okay.
You know,
yeah, that's
kind
I
of like
that's the handicap
that's,
okay, was.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Okay. That makes sense. Because I was like, yo, I watched this man take out eight people.
Yeah, no, he should have been able to handle them. It was more just like, oh, I'm like trying to make sure she doesn't get hurt.
He was grabbing the dude because they kept going after. Yep, that makes sense. That scene was good. I just really had a hard time with the... Once we get the message on the phone from their old boss, which again was fantastic. You guys are my bad boys. Or like...
I loved just about every line in those scenes from him, except for "you guys are my bad boys."
"You guys are my bad boys" felt so forced. It was like, literally, I was like, Joey Pants was like, there's no way to deliver this without it sounding corny. There's just no way.
Also, when he delivers it, I feel like he's not even looking at the camera. He's like looking down like, you guys are my bad boys.
He said it like he didn't want to say it. That's how he said it.
He's like, he didn't want to say it.
Goodness.
It's like, come on, dude. And it like kind of made sense, but there was a part of me that was like, the whole motivation for this movie is them just being like, we're going to clear Captain's name, even though he's dead and it doesn't actually matter. it was a little tough.
I mean, they were trying to clear the name, baby. They were trying to clear the name.
And then the daughter being like her coming in hot,
no,
and being like,
no
how
sense.
Dare
makes
you?
No sense.
But then all of a sudden, all she cares about is like
the son.
The son and like wanting to kill him and getting revenge. And it's just like, what are we talking?
I agree.
Where did her ire go for her dad? Like, where is that? I don't know. And it doesn't, and like, whatever. I don't know. All of that stuff was a little bit like,
no, right. I 100% agree with that, because it's one of those things of, Like, and then, you know, that set them on the path, which I thought was cool. I did like the John Sally cameo when he's like, it's on the,
great.
Then he was like, you guys say to me what you're supposed to say to me. Like, man, just tell us where it is. When you guys say
you
to
guys
me.
Are so dumb.
I love Martin yelling at him again. Oh, also shout out to Vanessa Hudgens.
Yeah, just shout out. Just shout out. Just know.
Just want to make sure. I don't know what she's.
We got a nice, we got a, you know, she, we got a post hookups. She came out. She was like, oh.
Listen, I don't know what she's doing right now, but I hope she's having a good day, you know? So I just.
I got to say, for me, there was a scene in this, there was a sequence in this even, that to me felt like most captured the energy of the original Bad Boys, of any sequel.
Oh.
And to me, it was the Tiffany Haddish, like going into, you know, and like, oh, and like dealing with Tiffany Haddish, leading into essentially a redo of the ice cream, you know, ice cream bomb sequence in Bad Boys 1 when they're driving in the ice cream truck.
Oh, I forgot about that sequence.
That aside, particularly like how they're behaving with their contact and like how Martin is like, yeah, you just close your eyes. You just take out your tongue. Like, that is like leaning into that raunchy
that
joke
in a
way where,
oh,
like,
my goodness.
He's leading that. He's not the butt of that joke. He's like leading that joke. That the energy of that sequence back to back felt the most like original Bad Boys to me. And
James,
I was so thankful for it.
Yeah. I don't know how scripted that scene was, but that to me was the best comedic scene.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
that, that was like so well executed. Oh, that was so funny.
Like, I didn't see her saying it. Like, in my mind, I'm like, oh, if this was Tiffany, she'd probably be like, you got to eat this pussy. But when she said it, I fucking lit up. And then when Martin at the end was like, yo, he was going to do that shit. Like, that story.
he's like, no, I wasn't.
He was like, that's fucked up. He was going to do that shit. And then just the cuts of the son's reaction just laughed. Because at one point when she says it, it cuts to the son and his eyes is like, oh, who shit? And then Martin just starts feeding into it. You're like, man, he just got married. He can't be doing that. I mean,
he needs some plausible
deniability. Yes, yes.
He has to close his eyes.
Yes, yes.
I loved it. I was here for it.
And then to get sold out by them. Also, shout out. I will say this. I will do Lookout for People.
Oh, DJ Khaled.
DJ Khaled. Even before them, there's this guy, Joyner Lucas, a musician who made a song. I feel bad. I do know a good amount of his songs, but the song that I really know of him is Will. He made a song like about Will Smith in like 2020.
Huh. Oh.
And the song got really popular. And then Will came on and did the remix. And Will was spitting on this remix.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, like he was spitting. He is the guy, the bad guy that comes in with the gold teeth.
Oh, cool.
That Tiffany calls. And I was like, yo.
Yeah.
That was cool. They also had the TikTok kid, like the black kid who's the most followed in TikTok. Yeah, he just shrugs. Honestly.
Oh, fun.
When he showed up, I was like, honestly, that's all he needs to do is shrug. Like,
honestly, respect.
That kid is the most famous person on TikTok.
He got them expressions.
Shrugging.
He got them expressions.
Genius. Freaking genius. Yeah, you're right, James. This sequence was fun. Martin again being like, we're fine. The fire's not in the car. The fire's not in the van.
The fire's on the outside. Now it's on the inside.
It was so good, man.
And then I thought the whole like ending sequence felt very like, of all of the ending fight sequences, felt like hearkening back to the airport at the end of the first one.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Felt like,
yes.
Like they had control over the like at least had a team set up and control over the area and yeah, all of that was like, that was so fun.
And we did get the cool callback to, like, you know, that's how you drive, like you said earlier, James, with the
yes,
I need nasty Mike, I need nasty Mike.
Right.
Also, what's funny is I didn't think they was gonna slap him that many times. I thought it was gonna be like maybe one or two. He slapped that man like four times. Just kept slapping.
So at one point, he's like, all right. He's like, okay. All right.
I mean, but that scene I thought was cool. Also, I think the thing about this movie Actually, James, you're right. I think the thing about this movie is that if you watch the first one, Martin is very capable as a cop.
Yeah.
Like he is, even though he's funny, he is very capable. Like he, like when they, when they're pretending that he's Mike Lowrey and they come in, like his wife comes to the house, I mean, to the apartment, but then so do the bad guys. Then he has to like get his wife and Tia Leone out. He's like literally shooting and capping people. And in this final sequence, Martin is actually like taking folks out.
Yeah.
Cause remember in one movie, was it the last one? He needed glasses so he couldn't shoot and he refused to wear the glasses.
Right.
That was Martin refused to wear, his.
It was in the third one. He needed glasses, but he couldn't.
I do remember that.
Like he couldn't shoot anymore because he was the long shot and he was like, ah. But in this one, they gave him the rifle. He was handling his business. I thought the payoff of he can't die was perfect with the alligator. I was like, perfect payoff with this alligator.
That was great.
Great. What was that alligator's name again?
Let me see.
It was an albino alligator. Bad boys. They kept playing that.
Yeah. Okay, yes. Wait. This Reba sequence in the, I'll say it ended up working better in the movie than it did in the trailer, but I still find it. I just can't believe I'm a strong black woman and what you're gonna do came out of anybody's mouth. I can't believe that it got to that. Like,
yeah, what? It was a lot.
That's real.
Black woman? What is this?
Also, that's when they were like, hey, you guys just improvise the scene. And I'm like, that's a hard scene to improvise,
yeah,
man.
No.
That is a hard scene to improvise. They get mauled by, it doesn't say the name of that freaking alligator. Oh, well. What else happened? Also, when Rita was like, she had to hunt down Mr. Fantastic, there was no evidence of anything because everybody was dead. I was like, oh, you need him alive because you got to convict the dude, get all the info. When she kicked this man into the water... First off, it looked like Die Hard when Hoover fell off the building.
He's just falling.
Yes, just so you can see as him, and then the alligator gets him. I was like, so he dead. And then when Will shot up the other dude, I'm like, okay, so he dead.
They had
evidence. They had the records.
I mean, they still needed to like go through all that evidence, but they had it.
I mean, and then, you know, we get to the great scene of, hey, man, what you doing with that chicken? Like, was it Will trying to put his chicken on the grill? He's like, yeah, I'm about to grill this chicken. Then Reggie showing up. Is he still standing there? Yeah, I think he is. I mean, he did kill 15 motherfuckers in the house. I'm going to let him cook the chicken.
I have seen people on the web calling for the new Bad Boys being Reggie and Will's son. How do y'all feel about that?
So that's tough.
Which son? Which son?
He only got
his in the movie. In the movie. Not one of his actual sons.
Got it.
I wouldn't. So to your point, James, which is so interesting, is that I wouldn't necessarily see a movie with those two. I would add the son to the team of Vanessa Hudgens and the big ass.
Yeah, you could also
guy.
Add Reggie to that if you're just adding it to the team.
Yeah, like I would have a team of them. Yeah. Because also I think it's so tough. I think that as black performers, we aren't allowed to be as, at least right now, I feel like we don't have anybody who is as funny and as charismatic as those two. Like, I think we have a lot of good black actors, but they represent different things. Like Yaya is really dope, but Yaya is really big, imposing. Like Michael B is very imposing. Michael B don't tell a joke. What other black guy do we have?
Yeah. I mean, who are who are the stand-up, like, you know, stand-ups are out here acting, you know.
What black stand-ups we got acting for real, for real? That's not Kevin. Like,
I mean, audition. When I say acting, I mean certainly auditioning.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we all out here auditioning.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, yes, of course, we're all out here.
No, I'm not that. What I mean by it is, we're all auditioning, but no one has.
There are some people who are like, I mean, I'm just sure that there are new stand-ups on the come up that could probably transition into this lane more like
you are 100%
like
right.
Could more easily transition into this lane than all of us comedic actors and comedians that are out here auditioning. You know, I'm just wondering if there's anybody like that comes to mind for y'all. I'm trying to think.
I, I can't think
like a Martin Lawrence type.
Yeah. Or Eddie.
Yeah. Or
at least. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know a lot of the thing is it's so tricky is I feel like I know a lot of black male comics.
Yeah.
Like who are funny, a lot who are in shape. But at the end of the day, like they aren't on shows and stuff yet, you know? Like,
yeah, no. I mean, we've talked about this and not to be fair, but I do think this is true a little bit for white people as well. Not as much, because I think there are still some white male actors that are being pushed a little harder. But like, yeah, there's not like, especially comedians, like the industry has not allowed, we talked about this with Gabriel's podcast, the industry has not really allowed new crops of comedians to rise up. So like we don't have, and then black, I mean like barely have that for white people. They really don't have it for black people outside of, I mean, no black men, not at all, right?
I mean, I can't think of one. I think what you're going to probably have to do is you're probably going to have to take like, I think you're probably going to have to Channing Tatum a black actor. By that meaning.
But you may not have to go that hard. Like I'm thinking of
not
like.
Not even Channing Tatum. I think they'll take like a rapper or they'll, that's what they would do.
Yeah, a rapper.
They would take a rap, they would take somebody, a black, like an athlete or a rapper. Yeah,
and I mean, I know that like Lamorne is 40, but I'm like thinking of somebody that's like, like him, but you know, 20 years younger, you know?
Right. And then, but I mean, think about Lamorne, like he does television.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like maybe he has been in some movies,
he's not leading the movies. Yeah.
Yeah. But also I think that's one of those things that's so difficult where it's like, you know, it's so funny. I was telling friend of the podcast, Cameras, because he is like in his 20s. I'm like, look, man, you're the closest I think you can get. I was like, if you keep doing these little shows, like not little shows, but like a bunch of these shows that like white people love, that's enough of a resume to have some type of credibility to like get. Someone just needs to get the part.
They would take like an act, like they would take non-comedic act. They would take somebody like Kelvin. Harrison,
yeah,
I think
they
would.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like Harris, they would take somebody like that, right? Like they wouldn't.
Well, RJ Seiler, I feel like is like he,
yeah.
When he delivers jokes, they come across funny. I mean, I still see him as an actor first, but he's like, he's generally pretty funny. In
I
the
mean,
stuff
think about House Party, right?
Yeah, like
that's what I was going to get to.
Yeah,
that's what I was going to get to. Like to me, if it's going to be somebody, the reason I was saying Channing Tatum because Channing Tatum to me was a quote unquote actor, and so they put him in a movie with a bunch of comedians. And they surrounded him with comedians and it was like, oh, this guy's funny. And to me, it's like, you're going to have to do like what they tried to do in House Party, but they didn't surround that guy with comedians.
No.
Or if you think about the Blackening, like you had Dwayne in it, but
everybody in that movie. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
But it's different though. Cause to me, that main guy isn't a comedian. That main guy was an actor who was more famous than the comedians who auditioned for that movie. You know what I mean? Like, so I think you're going to have to do somebody like that.
But when I think about the people that could like continue in this, it's like it's the you go to that cast first, you know. You go to that cast first. You find somebody from and then you would build out from there.
Bro, it's just so crazy to think about that they don't make comedies with they just don't do it. It's just like whatever. So depressing.
No, I think there's enough. I think there's enough people I've heard talk about. There's enough people I think who have power who talk about these things to get it done. I think the true testament will be when we actually cast it. As black people, for instance, shout out to the movie. Issa Rae's new movie that this wonderful director Lawrence is directing is supposed to be a hard comedy. It's supposed to be a comedy. And they have two male leads. They haven't announced who those leads are. They just announced Kiki Palmer and SZA.
And, you know they're actors, the male leads.
So I don't know who got cast. Mm-hmm. I don't. So to me, it's like if they cast comedians in those comedic parts, then I'm like, great, we can at least we're doing it. But if they go and cast like quote unquote more actory types in those comedic parts, then I'm like, then I don't know. I don't know who the fuck gonna do it.
Yeah.
it's gonna have to be Quinta. Like Quinta's gonna have to make a movie and just do it.
Oh yeah.
You know?
I mean, yeah, yeah.
Cause again, to me, it's like Donald probably won't do it. Cause Donald, I feel like
he would have been the last, he was kind of the last hope.
Right. Exactly. But he's too cool. He's too crossover.
He decided to,
too,
he was too, yeah. He was like, I want to be Spider-Man. And because he couldn't do that, it was like, we lost him to this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to do whatever I want. And it's whatever I want.
And because Solo was terrible. Like, yep. That's the other thing. If Solo was actually a good movie, maybe it would have been a different trajectory. But
what do you call it?
Well, the show is going to be a movie now.
Yeah. The next one might be good. That might be. I mean, because it's. Yeah.
And he's in it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's him. It's him and his brother. Him and his brother are doing it. So to me, that could be good. But I do think, you know, to your point, I would love if we could start making these movies. Also, it's so funny, James, when you say LaMorin's 40, I'm like, that is a big thing. But we're watching so many white actors be 80 in action movies. Like, I'm like, how many times I got to watch, like, Liam Neeson? I gotta watch, like, Hugh Jackman is almost 60.
Yeah.
Like, this is.
I didn't say that it was bad that they are older now.
Yeah.
I just said
that's
true. They
I guess
are
Lakeith,
older.
Lakeith
now.
Is not a comedian, like, but he isn't come.
Wait, is Lakeith a comedian? You consider.
Lakeith? I think Lakeith. Yeah, Lakeith could do it.
I mean, I'm just saying
he's not a comedian.
He's not a comedian, but he has played comedic roles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Jermaine. Yeah. Jermaine is the other one, of course.
Oh, Jermaine. So it's so funny. Thanks, Kyle. The funny thing you say about Jermaine, I've seen maybe two trailers with Jermaine in it. And the spider one when he's in it, and then there was another one. And I'm like, you know what? Jermaine could do it. I think the thing they're gonna have to do to Jermaine, which is so interesting, is you're gonna have to make Jermaine cool. And what I mean by that is I feel like Jermaine is such a funny person. You're gonna have to like dress him a little different. Like, you're gonna have to make him feel, because they always make Jermaine the butt of the joke. Like, in The Blackening, he's the butt of the joke in The Blackening. In this trailer for like Snake Legs or whatever the hell, he's the butt of the joke in that trailer.
And I think
Jermaine, when he was coming off of
well,
Sorry
he's supposed
to
be
you,
cool and coming to America, right?
Yeah, but they didn't let him be funny.
He didn't get to be funny. He literally got the most jokes Jermaine had in that movie was in the outtakes at the end. And I was like, he's too funny for this. But if you watch him, and Sorry to Bother You, he was cool as shit. He had a cool hairstyle. He was like moving
was cool
a certain kind
funny.
Of way. And yes, and he had the jokes. Like, he had, I hope you have a blessed day. Yeah, like, that was the moment. You know what I mean?
He's been working, man. He's been a lot.
If he can get someone to let him do that
again.
That's
right. Jermaine is, yeah.
When he leads it, Jermaine can do it. Like, Jermaine's got it.
But you think they have to make him cool and not like he can't be.
I think because my theory is every time you see a black cop or something, oh, people think he's dumb. It's like, no, the really good ones are smart. Like Martin Lawrence is smart in Bad Boys. When you go back to the first Rush Hour, Chris Tucker, as silly as he is, has the plan.
He's a great detective.
Like, he's the one with the plan. When you think about Eddie Murphy and Beverly Hills Cop, you think he's a wisecracking dude, but he has the plan, you know?
Also another great detective, yeah.
If you make Jermaine that, where he's like, oh, he may come off like funny and wise, but like he's so smart or like really good with the gun, really good at planning, we got it. You know what I mean? I don't know who's going to star in it with him, but, you know, maybe Draw Milligan, you know, let me, you know, brother in the gym, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, of course, it goes without saying that we're on that list. You know, it goes without saying.
You know,
yeah, we're on the list.
Yeah, the list.
Yeah, I'm on the list.
The list that I
yeah,
man,
we on
get
the
me
list.
Started, man. Don't get me,
you know.
Don't get me started on that
list.
List.
All right. We've been talking for a while. Is there anything else we gotta get to? We talked about the last scene at the end with the chicken. That was funny.
Oh my God, we've been talking for an hour and a half. That's longer than the movie.
No, it is.
Yeah,
it isn't.
It's not, but it you know. But this was fun. This is a.
It was. We had to. I got nothing else to say. Blockbuster. Okay, Masterpiece is a little aggressive. I'm not going to say Masterpiece, but it was a pretty good damn blockbuster. That's all I'm going to say.
I think I'm going to be remembering stuff from this Bad Boys longer than I remembered stuff from Bad Boys 3. I'll say that.
Oh, 100%.
Probably. Did you like the scene? Because I actually saw I think Will posted like a reel that had the a little bit like behind the
of
scenes
the,
of the filming
of the...
Yeah, like him with the GoPro and then like flipping the camera with the
you
gun
didn't like
and
like
the one person
shooter.
I didn't think we needed to flip it as much.
I didn't even understand it. I liked it. Yeah, I liked it. I thought it like for a I just have found myself appreciating like just weird shit like that. Like cuz it's not necessary, you know. It fully isn't, certainly. You know, but just they were just like and
it's also a little disconnected from the story.
This,
I was just
yeah,
like
exactly. Exactly.
I was just like, what is this?
It's just action for the sake of action.
Will said they pitched it to them and they were like, we're not sure. But they're like, they realized that everything the directors were trying to do was trying to make sure that it balanced some things for the people who grew up with the movie and for people who were coming into it. And they were like,
The directors pitched it.
And they were like, this is all secondhand from Will in an interview. Yeah. And he was like, you know, the reason for that is because a lot of kids play like Modern Warfare and games that have this kind of first person shooting style. So it was to get them involved. Like a lot, those drone shots was to like, you know,
when movies just like drop into people's and even that aside, when movies just drop into people's POV for the sake of like, not for the sake of like, we want to really put you in their mindset, literally just for a change of atmosphere. I'm like, right. I'm like, I'll take it, you know, like it's fun.
I don't know what it is. It's so funny because I watch so many movies, but like stuff like that really takes me out of it. I think people like this. I think you guys liked it in John Wick 4, but I also didn't like that.
Yeah,
that whole
yeah.
like somewhat CGI when he was going through the house. And I was just like, I don't know. I feel like I'm watching a video game now. Like, I don't know. There's something about it just took me out. But I mean, they're just having fun. They were trying to do their thing. So I don't blame them for like just trying a thing.
Trying stuff. Yeah.
Anyway, that's all. So we rate and review films not based on how much we like them, but whether or not they help the cause of leading Black actors in Hollywood. If we feel like a film helps that cause, we give it a black fist. If we feel like it somewhat helps the cause, we give it a white palm. We feel like it doesn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. So on the count of three, I'm going to do Bad Boys Ride or Die. Here we go.
I vote it.
One, I can't see it. Two.
I vote it.
Three.
Three black feet.
Whoa, I'm shocked.
Three black feet. Honestly, I am shocked, James. I didn't know what you were going to do. I was a little.
I think I have valid criticisms of the way this movie
rendered. You did.
And yet, of course, this movie gets a late stage sequel in a franchise starring aging black actors. I shouldn't have underlined aging, but you know what I mean? Like, or maybe, yes, underline aging. Like, it's cool. They're still doing this. That's incredible to me.
Listen, I'm with you. I was just a little shocked.
No, that was me explaining why I gave
it. Okay, I was looking at me. I gave it a black fist because honestly, I just had fun and I feel like I miss just sitting in the theater and just having fun. Like I'm tired of watching sad shit. I'm like, just entertain me. That's all. So black fist.
And I get a black fist because of everything it just said. It's a black movie. And plus we got Reggie killing folk. That was cool.
Yo, Reggie.
Come on, Reggie.
Yeah. Reggie. So thank you all for listening. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website where we have links to things like our Patreon. We have Patreon where $5 a month gets you access to episodes that we have every other week. There's a lot of episodes up there already. We covered Godzilla Minus One recently, things like Monkey Man, American Society of Magical Negro. So give us, if you have the money, please, it helps us keep this podcast free. Thank you for all of our supporters on that. Also, if you want to check out some improv, I'm on a Harold team at the UCB Theater, Franklin, This Is She. You can check that out. It's like Mondays. 8:30 generally.
This is she.
I don't know. It's a weird schedule. This is she.
You can follow me at Rule of Three on Twitter and or X and Instagram and TikTok. Three is the number three. Ruleof3inc.com. I'm selling comic books at Ruleof3inc.com and also listen to the podcast Tiny Dinos. I think it comes out every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts. And also, if you have children, Fairly Odd Parents is on Nickelodeon every Monday through Thursday at 4:30, 5:30.
Beautiful. I got nothing to promote. I just have to say this because this, I literally got this text as we're recording this podcast. My friend just texted me, Bad Boys has some of the worst acting I've ever seen on screen.
By whom? By whom?
That's hilarious. Oh, wait, if you rate and review us and give us 5 stars, iTunes will read your review. I haven't been reading them lately because y'all ain't been giving us reviews, but we got a couple more. So this one is by Trey Cool X. Says, I love this show. Consistently excellent and hilarious commentary on movies and representation in entertainment. And I appreciate their suffering through Madam Web for the listeners' enjoyment.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for... Yes. Thank you. That was suffering. Lord have mercy. That shit was bad as Green Book. No, Green Book was worse.
Yeah, what are you talking about? Green Book was Green far Book was worse. Worse.
Yeah, Green Book was yeah. worse.
I mean, it was the best picture of 2019.
Don't do this. We're not doing that. I don't remember.
All right.
I don't remember that.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Peace.